I think what I'm going to tell you, and this has nothing to do with the sermon, Martin Luther brought singing to the church. I think that's true. And what he did, he took the tunes from the pubs and used those because the people would be aware of those. Wasn't that very easy to sing? I've never sang that before. So I think there's a precedence there for us to follow as a church and for those who write lyrics but maybe are not that well-versed as far as putting it to music. I really like singing that. It just so happens that tonight's message, Paul is going to talk about exactly what we just did. This is part two of Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Last week we looked at verses 12 through 13. And Paul told us that there were five key virtues that need to be a part of our life. A compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, another word for that is gentleness, patience. And then in verse 14, he added this, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And last week, Mark, at the end, when he came up here, talked just about that. That's what love does. It binds things together. This is part two. We're going to look at verses 15 through 17, and we're going to look at them under the following headings. There are going to be three. When anyone puts a sermon together, and by the way, there's many different ways to do that. There's not one way to preach a sermon. And you can learn from others, or you can learn from books on doing sermons. But you have to decide what you're going to do. And what I choose to do are three steps. There's an introduction, there's an exposition, and there's a conclusion. And that's how I put them together. But that's not the only way to put. Phil doesn't do that. Phil has a flow that works kind of through it. But we're going to look at headings. And what a headings do is, for me, it helps to see the kind of the divisions of the content. What the first heading is, let peace rule in your hearts. That's what Paul wanted the Colossian church. He's given us five virtues, but now he's going to add to that, let peace rule in your hearts. And then he's going to speak on this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And underneath that heading, he's going to talk about what we just did. That's a way in which the word of Christ dwells in you. And then thirdly, an all-embracing command. So let me read to you Colossians 3, 15 through 17. This is the word of God. Let us hear it. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for your goodness to us. And one of the things that in your goodness you have done for us, you have established the church, and that church has a local aspect to it. So all over the world, Father, today, the church universal met, but they met in local settings to worship you and to honor. And tonight, that's why we're here, to worship you collectively. And we've just done that through the singing of the songs that speak of you. And now, Father, we're at the part of where we open up the Word of God to see what it has for us. It has a first audience, the church at Colossae. But Father, we have in our hands what was written to that church, which is mind-boggling. And it's written for us. So help us, Father, to learn tonight, to the end, that we would bring you honor and glory in whatever we do. Help me to be clear and accurate, and above all, to be able to preach in the unction and power of the Holy Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The first heading is, let the peace rule in your hearts. That's found in the opening of verse 15. Paul says this, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body. Now, when I prayed, I mentioned that there was a first audience. And what we need to remember, that God the Holy Spirit was superintending Paul's written letter to the degree that everything mentioned is exactly what this church needed. So Paul challenges them to let the peace of Christ rule in their hearts. Now, on a human level, there are some people that are peaceable by nature. It has nothing to do with the fact that they're Christians. They can be non-Christians, but they're just that kind of person. They don't get easily riled up. Now, there are some people that have a natural temperament to where they can get easily riled up. And the amazing thing is that God uses people who fall into both categories. And when we become a Christian, we don't change in our temperament. It remains the same. Yet God uses that. What is Paul is talking about here? He's speaking of a peace that is supernatural in origin, has nothing to do with your temperament at all. The peace of Christ means more than a temperament that is not easily upset. What is the foundation for the peace of Christ? Let me read you a statement. Inward peace of heart and mind. Did you get that? Inward peace of heart and mind is only possible because of all that God has done in Christ to be reconciled to those who were once his enemies. When someone becomes a Christian, they lay down their arms and take no further part in war that mankind has waged against God. The non-believer is a God-hater, actually. But that's why what we're talking about is supernatural. Because here's a man who in his natural temperament may have been just an ugly person to be around when he got angry. But God saved his soul. He was different. He was different. So this is the basis of peace with others. That first peace is very important there. What does Paul mean in Colossians 3:15? The believers are encouraged to let the peace of Christ rule in their hearts. And those who have peace with God are called to live in peace with other believers. It was true for the Church of Colossae. It's true for Gold Country Baptist Church. We are called to live at peace with our fellow believers. And God puts together a church, a local church, and we're not all alike. And there are some people who we might say are easier to get along with. That happens in families. It happens within your own kids. They're not all the same. You know, you begin to ask, where did this one come from? Well, it came from you. And what we need to see is that no matter that, we can have peace. And notice Paul urges the believer to live in one body where there is peace. And believers are able to do this because it is the peace that Christ imparts. We need to pray for that. We need to pray for that. I recently found something. I reorganized my books at home. And it really needed to be done because I had a bookcase and I had commentaries in there, but I had other books and I had books in back of books. And we did some switching of things at our house and I had room to put some of those books in the hallway. And I found a prayer book that I put together. I should have brought that. I actually don't remember when I did it. Now that says something about me right away, doesn't it? But I use it every morning now. And it's about this thick. And you know what it has in? Just scripture. I have a part in the back that are just benedictions from the Bible. And I think I did this about 12 years ago. But scripture is given to us. And the part that we're looking at tonight is given to us to pray. And at the end, I'm going to take this scripture that I just read and I'm going to personalize it. And I'm going to personalize it for me. We just had a conference on doing that. And don't think you just have to reserve that for the Psalms. You don't. You do it with Scripture. And this Scripture talks about us being peaceable. And we need to pray to that end. We can put Gold Country Baptist Church in there. We can pray for our church in doing that. And then Paul adds, Be thankful. Be thankful. And that's something else that we need. We just had Thanksgiving. We had it with Bonnie's family. And in Bonnie's family, there are non-believers who were there. In fact, several who were there. And we had it at Bonnie's sister's house in Antioch. And I used to love going to 117 Hilltop Crescent in Walnut Creek, because that's where Bonnie's parents lived. It's way up on a hill. You can look out, see Mount Diablo. Because every Thanksgiving, we went to 117 Hilltop Crescent. Well, since that time, Bonnie's mom has died. Her father died earlier, but her mom has died. That house has been sold. But Sue saved her mom's table. Now, I'm a very nostalgic person. And I just appreciated. And we had a table that was, 20 feet long. There were 25 of us there, and we all sat around it. It was huge, and it was beautiful. But we were at a home where they're not Christians. But I brought my Bible because I always read Psalms 100, because Joyce would ask me to do that. And Sue asked me to do that. Oh. I was sitting at the end of that table. And I read Psalms 100. I'm starting to get a little emotional, and I got emotional then. Be thankful. Every day of our life, we need to be thankful. We need to spend some time as we come before our Father and be thankful. And there's so much that we have to be thankful for. I am so thankful for this church. I'm so thankful. It will be 10 years ago that we came here in February of 2007. And that's when we first came here. And I'm going to talk about that because it very much relates to what Paul is going to say here. But Paul says, be thankful. With some abruptness, I mentioned Paul does this. And how does it relate to the context? Let me read you a statement. The readers need to be thankful that believers are able to live at peace with each other. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That even though we're really different people, we can live at peace with each other. It doesn't happen mystically or magically, but it happens as God the Holy Spirit's work, and we implore Him to do so that we would be a church who is at peace with each other. And then Paul goes on in verse 3:16 for the second point. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Here's what he says. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly was a corrective statement for the church at Colossae, because within that church there were false teachers. And there had been many authoritative pronouncements by these false teachers, and it needed to be corrected. You see, Jesus is the Lord and teacher of his church. We don't have to wonder what to teach. Here it is. Now, I'm going to tell you a bias I have. I have a bias. This is the Word of God. This is not. Now, some of you bring a digital thing with you with the Word of God on it. But I do have a bias, because this is the Word of God. It doesn't mean you can't do the other, by the way. This is a Denor bias, okay? So you take it for whatever it's worth. This is what needs to dwell in us richly, richly. And his words take precedence over all others. And in fact, we can say it even stronger, his words exclude all others. And there are some churches that met today where the Word of God was not preached. It was called a church, and people would call that place a church, but it's not a church. Because a church is a place where the Word of God is preached and taught. That's a church. And if you're looking for a church, that's how you want to look. We want to find a place where the Word of God is preached and taught, and Gold Country Baptist Church does that. What about the dwell in you richly? Believers are to be saturated with the Word of Christ. The Word of Christ must be abundantly available so that believers can read it, study it, hear it, and then live it out. So, in God's providence, Gutenberg, a long time ago, invented the printing press. Do you think that just happened? No. It was in the providence of God that happened. And that was the beginning. And now it's unbelievable what can be done. What can be done. And we can have a copy of the Word of God. Now, there are two practical consequences to what we're talking about here. One is the central role of teaching and preaching in the church. Notice it talks about teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom. And the chief thing when we meet together is the preaching of the Word of God. But in God's providence, we have what is called Sunday school, which is another venue to teach the Word of God. And we have it here at Gold Country. If you're not coming to Sunday school, you need to. You need to. And we know that everybody doesn't come, right? They need to. And I would say that before them. Because it's another vehicle that we have to learn the Word of God. What does the Holy Spirit do in the church? The Holy Spirit gifts those to preach and teach the Word of God. And the words with all wisdom suggest that those who preach and teach must be mature. And it's not done by just one. Now, I want to tell you why I love Gold Country Baptist Church. We came here in 2007. And I have always preached and taught in churches that we have attended. And when I came here, I didn't start preaching and teaching. And the elders knew that I had done this. In every other church that I have attended, I started preaching and teaching really quickly. And I think that was a mistake because that church didn't know me. They knew of me, maybe, but they didn't know me. And I was here for quite a long time before I ever preached or taught. And they asked me to do it, but they asked me to do like a one-shot thing, like at a conference. And the first time I did this, there were four elders in that class. Now, they weren't there by accident, right? They're there to find out if Dean Orr has been gifted of the Holy Spirit to preach and teach. And a church should be very, very careful based upon the past. Hank Hanegraaff, you know who he is now a part of the Eastern Orthodox Church. Just learned that this weekend. That's why you need to be careful. And finally, they ask. I got a call from John Rucker. He says, I have two questions. Would you like to be considered to become an elder? And would you like to teach an adult Sunday school class? I said, I'm going to answer your questions right now. No, I do not want to be an elder because I have no desire. And if you're going to be an elder, you have to have the desire to be an elder. You never, never let a man, you know, you don't coerce him into being an elder. He has to want to be. But then I said, in answer to your second question, yes, I would love to teach an adult Sunday school class. And then I had to appear before the elders before that started. And I told them, this is the first church I've ever attended that did this right, in my opinion. I had a cousin who got the idea to become a pastor, and he went to seminary. Fortunately, that seminary very quickly said to him, you're not called to be a pastor. You may have an inward desire, but an inward desire has to be backed up. See? So you may have a great desire, but has God gifted you to do this? And that's what Paul is talking about here. Now, what about the effect of singing? There's no youth here that are going to leave, so I would normally want to stop right now, so I'm going to go just a little bit longer. The effect of our singing, it says singing hymns, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You know, some people, you know, singing psalms and hymns and whatever, I just like to kind of simplify that and say, whatever we sing, there's some rules, I think, that apply. It says we sing with thankfulness in our hearts to God. We did that this morning. We sang as a collective group. And I hope your mind was centered on that. It's really hard sometimes because sometimes there's things going on maybe that are a little bit distracting. But we have to block that out and just, fortunately, you know, we're looking up here. And that is really good because you can really zoom in there. Here's some singing and worship. What we sing speaks about how we view worship. Gordon Free talks about this. He says, you let me look at what a church sings and I'll tell you the spiritual condition of that church. We must sing truth. In other words, words matter. Words matter. We must sing it to the Lord because it is He we are worshiping when we do this. We're not singing to impress those around us. And we have some people that can really sing. And I love it when those people sit behind me because I can just bask in that. And sometimes there's some young girls. My spot is over in there. And there are some young girls that are right behind. And when they sing, I love it because they just really sing. We must sing in the right framework of mind. And we must sing with hearts that are overflowing with gratitude. It has nothing to do with you carrying a tune. It has everything to do with singing these words to God as an act of worship. And we are so fortunate in this church to have people that do that well. We are unbelievably blessed. And then there's an all-embracing command at the end. And whatever you do, I'm going to read those words again. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do. Those of us that are here tonight did different things this afternoon. If you are younger and have younger kids, you just didn't go home and whatever, right? This little baby, oh man. She was staring at us when we were singing, and she locked in with Bonnie's eyes. I think Bonnie was smiling at her or something. But when you have kids like that, you can't just say, hey, you know, play or whatever. Whatever you do. But you do it as unto the Lord. So this takes in everything that we do. You do your best. You do your best. When our kids came home with their report card, we didn't look at the grades first. We looked at the part of the report card that spoke of work habits. Work habits. And if those work habits were good, we accepted the grades over here, because all kids are not the same. They all didn't take after the brilliance that you have. They're different. And with some kids, school is hard work. When I went to college, I was so ill-prepared, it was unbelievable. I didn't know what a term paper was. I got in this class, and he talks about a term paper that was due. I'm just sitting there, shocked. What is a term paper? I had to work hard. I did well, but I had to work hard. For every hour I spent in class, I studied an hour after class that day. There was a friend of mine, Don Beard. Don Beard worked 40 hours and took 18 units at Biola. We would have three major tests in a history class. I studied 3 hours, or more than that actually, for that test on an ongoing basis. Don Beard read 8 chapters that the test was based on the night before the test, and he missed 2. That's not fair, right? It's not fair. But listen, that's what it is. And what I had to do is, I had to do a lot of work to do my best. We're all different. And that's what this verse is calling. Whatever you do it the best. The best. Go a step beyond what the boss is asking you to do. Go a step beyond in your family to make things work easier. And if you just stopped and thought, you could come up with some things. See? Shock your parents if you're young enough, you know, to where you have things to do. Do your best. Let me read you a statement here by J. Philip Arthur on verse 17. Our section closes with a general exhortation that is universal in scope. Every aspect of the believer's life is covered. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We have already seen that Christianity is not a hobby. In this chapter, the apostle has encouraged us to put on certain qualities, to live together in love and peace, and let the word of Christ control what is taught and sung among us. Now, in conclusion, we have a clear call to bring our every moment and every action under the Lordship of Christ. What I've talked to you about tonight is not going to mean a hoot to you unless you think about this during the week that lies before you. You know why I can say that? Because I've been sitting out there sometimes and hearing the Word of God, and I didn't think about it during the week at all. You're going to have to discipline yourself to think about it, to take an inward check of your life. How am I doing? And one of the reasons I like to ask questions at the end, at the conclusion, because these questions have to do with how am I doing? How am I doing? And the Word of God is meant to change our lives, to make us more Christ-like. So with that in mind, do you have the peace of Christ in your heart? Secondly, do you do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I'm going to pray these verses back to God, but I'm going to personalize them for me. And then after that, we're going to have a time of reflection where you can think about what the Word of God has said to us. And the Word of God is only preached when what is said is based upon the Word of God. See? That's why you can speak, anybody can speak with authority, because it's not what he says, it's what the Word of God says. And we hear that when Phil preaches to us every Sunday morning. So we're going to pray, and I'm going to personalize these words. Let's pray. Our Father, let the peace of Christ rule in my heart, to which indeed I was called in one body. And help me to be thankful. Let the Word of Christ dwell in me richly as I teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in my heart to you, God. And whatever I do, in word and deed, may I do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to you, Father, through him. Our Father God, I want to thank you for this portion of Scripture. I want to thank you that we have Scripture. So, Father, help us this week, each one of us, to think over this portion of Scripture. Help us to pray it just back to you as our heart's desire. And Father, I ask your blessing on this church. I thank you so much for the elders. May you be with them in a special, special way. Undergird them. Give them great wisdom. Help us all, Father, to be at peace with one another. And even though we're so very, very different, Father, we're to do this. So thank you. Thank you, we have the opportunity to sing your praises back to you. And help us as we sing the closing song to sing it to you as our prayer. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.